go to Philippians chapter 2. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your word. Thank you that your word has meaning. We can live by hope. Lord, you give us quality of life when we live by your word. So thank you for today. Lord, we just ask you to minister. Lord, this is a fun message, and we just thank you that Christians can love. Have a good time. Lord, be with us, and Lord, be with me. Holy Spirit, I can do this. Chapter 2, folks. We're going to look at two verses. Verse 1 and 2. And I'm going to be using the NIV today, which makes some of you happy, some of you not. Verse 1, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with his Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Let's do it again. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Amen. Today, in spite of many couples choosing to live together in our modern society, I want you to know the marriage commitment between man and woman is still taking place. And I say hallelujah today. Amen. Hallelujah. God ordained that union at creation. Beginning of time, God ordained that union at creation. I've always believed in the marriage commitment and taking it seriously, and I'm sure many of you have done the same thing. From time to time, I think back on the day I got married to my beautiful bride, Bonnie, and I was thinking that about it. It was a small wedding. It was lovely. It was great. And when we left that place, the doused us with rice. I think we picked little kernels of rice from our hair for about a week or so. I had hair back then, folks. And Bobby had a cheese hairdo. So you can imagine what rice did to that. Now, I don't know as though they throw rice anymore, because in the mid-1990s, it was a growing thought that uncooked rice would kill unsuspected birds. It was believed that the uncooked rice would swell in their stomachs, causing them to burst and have a tragic death. So the tradition of rice, which was superstitiously believed to foster fertility, was abandoned, and alternatives like bird seed, confetti, and bubbles were established. Just a little trivia for you. Ironically, there's no real truth to this. Rice is not a threat to birds. And Myoko Chu of Cornell University, bird expert, she stated that there's no documented cases of birds dying as a result of eating rice. She also said, in fact, cock sparrows, red-winged blackbirds, and bobolinks eat it all the time in the wild. Weddings and marriages are surrounded by many myths. If the whole country can be duped by misinformation about rice, how many more people can be misled by the idea that when they get married, they will live happily ever after? No arguing, no fighting. Because if they're really madly in love, which they think they are, they will have the perfect marriage, right? Alicia thought she had found the perfect man. As she was getting to know Michael and his family, she was very impressed by how much the parents loved each other. "They're so thoughtful," Alicia said. "Why, your dad even brings your mom a cup of coffee in bed every morning." After a time, Alicia and Michael were engaged and then married. On the way from the wedding to the reception, Alicia again remarked on Michael's loving parents and his mom's morning coffee in bed. "Tell me," she said, "does it run in the family?" "It sure does," replied Michael. "But you should know I take after my mother." When the honeymoon's over and weeks give way to months and months give way to years, the love that once burned with passion often becomes a weak flame. How do you suppose that happens? Where has the love gone? Many wish they could rekindle the fire to make it as if it was still on their honeymoon. They were still on their honeymoon. A woman woke up and told her husband, "I just dreamed that you gave me a pearl necklace. What do you think that means?" "You'll know tonight," he said. That evening, the man came home with a small package and gave it to his wife. Delighted, she opened it to find a book entitled The Meaning of Dreams. Well, sadly today, I want you to know dreams are turning into nightmares at an alarming rate. George Barna reports boomers are virtually certain to become the first generation for which a majority experience divorce. The majority. But in spite of all the failed relationships and their attempts, each of us still has a strong need and a desire for love and to love. We need to receive love and we need to give love. So what can be done to make our dreams of love come true? How can we rekindle the flame in our marriages, or as they say, feel the love? What about individuals? What can they do to promote love? What about as a church? How can we as a church family begin to feel the love that should exist among us? I believe the Bible provides the answer. Scripture is full of rich insights of rekindling love. One place in the Bible you might not have thought much about is found in Paul's letter to the Philippian church. Paul wrote this love letter to people who were struggling in the area of unity. Apparently there were some ongoing problems between the members, two of which Paul even named, Euoda and Syntyche. I looked them up, that's how you pronounce it. In the second chapter of Philippians, we discover sound advice from Paul for the unity of the body. These principles can help all of us become a loving family, and the family God wants us to be, and they will also work for married couples to strengthen their relationship with one another. So first of all, to rekindle the dream of love, feel the love, we need to encourage one another. Encourage one another. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 that we just read, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, let me ask you, when was the last time you praised someone with encouraging words? I recently found this statement, man doesn't live by bread alone. He also needs butter and nuts. There's some real truth to that. Life is difficult, folks. It is difficult. We all need encouragement, a pat on the back, appreciation. We all need it. Every one of us. George M. Adams comments with this. There are high spots in all our lives, and most of them have come through encouragement from someone else. I don't care how great, how famous, or how successful a man or woman may be, each hungers for applause. Each hungers for applause. One man tells about seeing love in action when he watched his grandson's t-ball game. A little boy came up to the plate. He swatted the ball off the tee, and instead of running to first base, he ran to third base. The coach went up to the little boy and said, wow, you sure hit that ball a long way. Little boy responded, I did. Yeah, and you ran really fast to third base and surprised everyone. I did. Yes, you did. But I have one question to ask you before you come to the dugout to watch the rest of this inning. When you made the decision to run to third base instead of first, what was in your mind? What were you thinking about? The boy replied, well, everybody that was running to first was getting put out. The coach took the boy to the dugout to talk to him. He said, last time you made a choice of running to third base instead of first. You surprised everyone, and you made it, but you didn't get a chance to score. Now you've got the same choice again. You can choose to run to third and probably make it okay, but you won't get to score. Or you can take the risk of running to first base. You may get put out, but if you make it, you get a chance to score. But whatever you decide, I want you to know we're right there behind you. Don't we all need to be encouraged like that, folks? We need to know somebody's behind us, somebody's supporting us. I like to encourage people. And as of this date, I have never met anyone who has told me I praised them or thanked them too much. We all need it. And the more, the better. Encourage one another in the Lord. It makes all the difference in the world. Something else we can do to rekindle the dream and feel the love is to comfort one another. Verse 1 again says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love. Any comfort. Because of the comfort of Jesus' love, Paul had affection for the Philippian believers. The same applies to any relationship. As Christians, using Jesus' love, any comfort you or I give will activate affection in all of our relationships, including the relationship with our spouse. Marianne Evans, British novelist in the 1800s, who's better known from her pen name, George Eliot, discovered that comfort and affection go together in a deeply meaningful way. At the age of 17, after the death of her mother and at the marriage of her elder sister, she was called home to care for her father. In those long days of constant care, she discovered that comfort really does draw two souls together. Listen to her words. Oh, the inexpressible comfort of feeling safe with a person, having neither to weigh thoughts nor measure words, but to pour them all out just as they are, chaff and grain together, knowing that a faithful hand will take consistent, keep what is worth keeping, and then with the breath of kindness, blow the rest away. Dreams do come true, folks, if we learn the art of comforting one another. Giving and receiving comfort will help us feel the love that comes from the heart of God. Let's continue. If we want to rekindle the dream and feel the love, the next thing we must do is spend time with one another. Spend time with one another. Philippians 2:1, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit. The fellowship with the Spirit was the fellowship Paul and the Philippians experienced together, with the understanding that the Holy Spirit helps believers cope with one another in their weaknesses. This can also speak to the fellowship we have with the Holy Spirit himself. God's Holy Spirit has personality and emotion. He can even be grieved. However, when we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, things like love, joy, peace begin to show up in our lives. Yeah. Romans 8:26, it says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Do you struggle in your relationships? Is it hard for you to relate with others on a deep level? The Spirit helps us in our weakness. He prays for us. He prays through us. He strengthens us and teaches us love in the way God loves. Now, we know fellowship is very important. It is naturally us, it strengthens us. Now, excuse me, let me stop. Fellowship is one of the important parts of the church. I'm confident everyone here knows how to fellowship. I've seen most of you in action. And it is so vital that we know how to enjoy each other's company. But there's one thing you and I need for fellowship to be at its best. Time. Time. Fellowship involves time. For any relationship to grow and thrive, whether it be a married couple, or a couple considering marriage, or people desiring friendship, spending time together is a must. A tornado hit a Kansas farmhouse just before dawn one morning. Tore off the roof and picked up the bed in which the farmer and his wife were sleeping. By some miracle, the tornado set them down, unharmed, but in the next county. The wife was sobbing uncontrollably. Don't be scared, Martha, her husband consoled. We're not hurt. Martha continued to cry. I'm not scared, she said between sobs. I'm happy. This is the first time we've been out together in 14 years. Simply define the statement means that one can make up for having minimal moments with with his family by making certain that the time he does have is quality time. On the surface, this concept seems to make a lot of sense. However, it is possible to spend much time with one's family that is seemingly meaningless. All of us experience times when we are at home physically, but our minds are wandering a mile away. I can remember days with the family that could have been stretched in terms of quality. So what is the quality time myth? It's as phony as a fake diamond on a $1 bill. Fact is, there's no quality without quantity. Too many parents live with the regret of abandoned moments. It takes time to be silly, to share a secret, to heal a hurt, or to kiss away a tear. Moments of uninhibited communication between child and parent cannot be planned. The only ingredient we bring to the dynamic of family life is our availability. And that is spelled T-I-M-E. Spending time together is necessary. Couples must find time in their busy schedules to be together and enjoy each other's company. Brothers and sisters, we must also take time in our busy lives for each other. That's why it's so very important to gather together with the church family as often as you can. If you don't, then you're missing out on something God wants to do in you through another believer. If you don't, then you're missing out on something that God wants to do in them through you. Without time together, fellowship wanes, making it very difficult to feel the love. If we want to rekindle the dream and feel the love, we must also be tender and compassionate toward one another. Be tender and compassionate toward one another. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. What is tenderness and compassion? The words used here literally refer to our insides. The Jews viewed man's inner parts as the source of tender affections, the wellspring of our feelings. In Paul's case, it was this affection that Paul had for the Philippian congregation, which they ultimately reciprocated. Interesting enough, inward tenderness and compassion will always be revealed outwardly in acts of kindness and goodwill for another person. Benefiting others and being gracious will continually strengthen our relationships. I heard there is now a husband shopping center where a woman can choose her husband from lots and lots of men. It is laid out on 5 floors with the men increasing in positive attributes as you ascend up the floors. The rules are, once you open the door to any floor, you must choose a husband from that floor. And if you go up another floor, you can't go back down, except to leave the place. So a couple of girlfriends went to the shopping center to find their perfect man. On the first floor, the door had signs saying, "These men have jobs and love kids." The women read that sign and said, "Well, that's better than not having jobs and not loving kids, but I wonder what's further up." So they went. Second floor says, "These men have high-paying jobs, they love kids, and they're extremely good looking. Hmm, said the girl. I wonder what's further up. Third floor. These men have high-paying jobs, are extremely good-looking, love kids, and help with the housework. Wow, this is tempting. This is tempting. But there's more. Up they go. Fourth floor. These men have high-paying jobs, they love kids, extremely good-looking, help with the housework, and have a strong romantic streak. Oh, mercy. Just think, what must be waiting on the top floor? So up to the fifth floor they go. The sign on that door reads, "This floor is just to prove that women are impossible to please." She couldn't talk about the man she might have married, and he couldn't complain that his mother was a better cook. But every marriage and every relationship could be improved if both parties would place acts of kindness and tender love and care into the mix of everyday life. Finally, if we want to rekindle the dream and feel the love, we must have a good attitude. Good attitude. Philippians 2:2. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Paul urges the Philippian church to complete his joy by being like-minded, cultivating a single mind, and having the same love. A love not just for one another, but also for the Lord Jesus Christ. I've discovered over and over again that when people love Jesus first, it's much easier for them to love those around them. Being one in the spirit and purpose. Having discord within the church at Philippi initially revealed a problem of self-centeredness. Paul hoped that the Philippian church would come together wholeheartedly with the right attitude. So Paul stressed the importance of becoming united in having the same goals and purpose. It's the Holy Spirit that we unify. It's the Holy Spirit that we unify. It will allow a cohesiveness to flourish in any relationship. Being of one mind is so important, folks. And maybe even the most important aspect of a good relationship. So brothers and sisters, do you want to improve the way you relate to others? Do you want everyone to feel the love, encourage, comfort, spend time together, be kind, and have the right attitude? Two businessmen had a significant encounter in an airport baggage claim area. One was a family man and the other wasn't married. The single traveler watched with great curiosity as the family man was engulfed with hugs and kisses from his wife and his children. They embraced and smiled as though the man had been gone for weeks. The single businessman was taken back by the abundance of affection, so he asked the family if they had been separated for a long time. The man affirmed he had indeed been away on business for two whole days. In amazement at such a strong knit family, the fast track single guy, he stated, "I sure hope I can have a family like that someday." The other man turned from his family and replied, "Don't hope, my friend, decide. Don't hope, decide." Every day that you and I live, we decide whether to enrich our marriage, our relationships, our friendships, or neglect them and watch them deteriorate. Every day. We can easily feel God's love and make a choice to share it. As Christians, we have the ability to love because God first loved us and gave His Son for us. The Bible is a book of love. All we need to do is love in the way Jesus has taught us. God has unconditional love for you and me. Have you received His love? God wants you to feel the love He has provided and offered for you. You need only to receive it by faith in Jesus Christ. This morning, I want you to allow the Almighty God to embrace you, to blanket you with His love. We had a lot of fun this morning, but I hope I made my point. Every relationship can get better. And I can't understand it says that mother love is the closest thing we have to that unconditional love. But it's greater than mother's love. I think it's probably right, that last point I had to you. If our attitude is wrong, our love is not going to be there. Folks, I think, you know, all of us can have a checkup once in a while. I used to say do a dipstick check, you know, pull it out, see what's under. And we need to do that, because life is quick. And it passes, and we say, where did it go? And we missed opportunities to do. There are things we would choose to do. Take the time. We don't know what tomorrow has. We don't know what tomorrow brings. We just need to love those folks and receive their love. We can isolate ourselves well as a group, but sometimes we don't want love, so we can isolate ourselves. What in the world wrong with us? God gave us love for a purpose. In that message that I talked about when people first married, they just, you know, perfect love to do anything. And when you counsel these, especially kids, you may warn them about what you're going to do. How are you going to make a living? And they'll say, you don't mind it, but no. And they leave, thinking that they can overcome anything because they have a love for each other. And I don't know when it happened, but not the third day, probably. They realize it's not as deep. And we can go two different ways from that point. One way is to just pull away. Another way is to fix it. Get in unity in mind. That's not rocket science. And you don't live your life by feelings, but you sure can enjoy it. So what I want to say to everybody is, feel the love. Do your part. If it's broken, fix it before it gets broken anymore. And I love my mom.
We love you too, Pastor.
We love you too, Pastor.
And I encourage you to take steps for loving those people that you know and surround you. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's terrible, not but God wants you to love. So let's pray. Lord Jesus.